Hello everybody, I am Lucia Matuonto and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast, a talk show where my guests and I talk about relatable everyday situations, books, and the environment we live in. Remember to subscribe and follow the podcast on social media so you can be notified when a new episode is available. Let's begin. Hello and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast. Today, we are heading to Pennsylvania to talk with Bill Hemmick. Bill is known for his diverse creative pursuits, including writing 8 plays produced off-Broadway and regionally, as well as crafting a captivating short story collection titled Americana Stories and the novella Brethren Hollow. So, Bill, welcome to the RV.
Thank you, Lucy. I'm very happy to be here.
Yes, likewise, Bill. I'm glad to be back to Pennsylvania. I was reading about you, and I think it's fascinating that despite in growing up in Pennsylvania, you had a German accent as a child. So could you tell us more about your background and upbringing?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Reading, Pennsylvania, which is sort of on the outskirts. Well, it's not really on the outskirts, but it's in Pennsylvania Dutch country. And a lot when I was growing up, my parents had Pennsylvania Dutch accents, so I had a Pennsylvania Dutch accent. And I gradually got rid of it, but I couldn't even reproduce it for you now. But yes, I did as a child.
Yeah, it's often said that when we learn a language as a child, it becomes easier to pick it up again later in life. So yes. I'm sure that if you try to learn again, it will be easier than for other people who never studied this language.
I did eventually teach myself to, yes, change my dialect.
And Bill, I find it interesting how you went from a background in historic preservation to pursuing theater and eventually ventured into the realm of writing. How did these transitions unfold for you?
Well, I got my undergraduate college degree in art history, so I sort of got my first job post-college was in historic preservation, and I stayed there for a while, but I was always interested in theater. And I sort of got bit by the bug, and I moved to New York and tried to establish myself as a playwright. And I was moderately successful for a few years. I had some off-Broadway productions and some things outside of New York. And then that all kind of fizzled out, and I lost my connections, and I moved out of the city. And eventually I realized that I was over 40 and I did not have any retirement savings. So I thought I should do something about that. And I went back to school and I got a master's degree in library science. And I was originally a librarian for a number of years. Now I'm an administrator at a college. And meanwhile, while all that was happening, I've always written. I mean, I always need to write. And I didn't want to write for the theater anymore. And I turned my attention to short fiction. And so far, I've been successful at it.
Wow, what a transition. And do you still work in the library?
I do. I'm a couple years away from retirement, after which I will have time to start writing a novel. But I am still in college administration during the day.
Yes, it must be an interesting work to stay there just close to many books.
Yes. Well, I am rather fond of books. So I found the right profession.
Yes.
It's also very satisfying when you find that your own books are in your own library.
Yeah. So moving to your recent works, could you tell us more about your short story collection, Americana Stories, and why did you decide to write short stories?
I originally started out trying to write a novel, and I didn't have the time to keep up. And you need to keep something in your head at all times in order to do it well. And I was not finding sufficient time with my day job and everything else that was going on in my life to work on a novel. And a friend of mine suggested, try short fiction. It won't take you as long, and you'll probably be much more successful at it. So that's what I did, and that's what happened. I started churning out shorts. Well, actually, my first short story, which I thought was going to be a short story, turned into my novella, Brethren Hollow, because I realized along the way that I had more story than I had too much story for a short story than I was writing a novella. But then after that, I've been writing short stories ever since, and it's much easier when I'm limited in my time. To write short stories. I can write a few a year, and I'm very comfortable with that. When you're restricted for time, it's a much easier way to approach writing. And also I think, I don't know, the way people's attention spans are nowadays, I think shorter fiction is becoming much more popular than it used to be.
I read the synopsis, and it looks like you focus on the American way of life. So, what inspired you to create this collection? Were you inspired by real people, real stories, or is just they are all fiction?
Well, they're all fiction, but all fiction has a foundation in truth. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of my stories are based on situations I've actually been in or exaggerations of situations that I've been in. I mean, I took the title Americana from one of the stories as the one that closes out the collection. I got a review online by a non-American author. I was kind of surprised and kind of not surprised that this writer saw it as a very American collection of stories and the characters in it as very American people. I didn't realize I was doing that to that extent, but then I'm an American.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on to your, I think it's your latest book, Brethren Hollow.
Brethren Hollow, yes. It was actually my first published book. It came out about 3 or 4 years before the collection. There's an interesting story behind where that came from. When I lived in New Jersey, not too far from where I live in Pennsylvania now, there was an old abandoned one-room church across the road from my house that had a graveyard behind it. And one day I was wandering in the graveyard and I noticed back in a far corner a relatively recent tombstone with a portrait of the deceased, who was a young woman, etched into it, very realistic. And on the front was her name and her birth and death dates and the words beloved daughter and sister. As she was young, she was in her late 20s, I believe. And wandering around to the back of the stone, I found another inscription which read, shot in the back of the head by her husband, followed by his name. And obviously the family was
Is suspense? What is the genre?
it's kind of a combination. A couple of the characters, it's actually I took the graveyard and set it down in the middle of an old woodland in the center of that had a brand new housing development built around it. And one day, three couples who are neighbors wander into the woods and discover the graveyard. And two of the characters become extremely interested in the story because no one knew anything about this woman or her murder or anything about it. And two of the women, characters decide to do some research and find out what actually happened. And a lot of the story is about their discoveries, but then there are also the other characters who just think that this whole thing is a scar on their housing development and they don't want to have anything to do with it. So there's a tension between sort of suburban mores and more sort of pre-suburban interest in, you know, the old history of New Jersey. So there's a struggle going on between the two.
And actually, your covers are different and very, very interesting. I saw two of your covers on Amazon, and there is one that I believe is like a car in flames.
That's the cover to Americana Stories. Yes, that's interesting too, because it was designed by my publisher, but the cover art comes from artificial intelligence. Any graphic designers who are listening to this podcast should just ignore this part. But yes, he found a visual artificial intelligence program, and he fed two images into it. One of them was Norman Rockwell's Freedom from Want. If you're familiar with it, it's a very old-fashioned kind of painting of a family sitting around the Thanksgiving table, and mother is presenting the turkey to the family, and everybody's smiling and you know, one big happy family. And the other one, there's a popular meme going around of a dog sitting in a burning room saying, "This is all fine." A lot of people have seen it. It's been going around on the internet. So what he did was he fed the two images into the artificial intelligence program, and it created a mashup of the two of them. The dog in the flames are very easy to identify. It's a little harder to pick out which of the Norman, what of the Norman Rockwell is in there, but I just think the mashup of the two of them just captures the tone of the book very well.
When I looked at the cover, you feel like I need to see what's going on. What's the story of
Well, that's great. That was the intention.
Yeah, it's very catchy.
Yeah, no, I love it. I liked it the first time he showed it to me.
And Bill, what do you expect your readers take away from this book?
I hope they just are able to identify at least with some of the characters and the situations that they go through. Most of them are very everyday events that I'm just looking at through a kind of skewed magnifying glass. And I just want people to sort of learn something about themselves through living through these characters.
Do you think they are going to reflect about life and death of a
I
young?
hope so. I mean, one of my big concerns is the way people treat other people. And one of the things that I would hope that readers come away with is that they reflect on their own behavior and look at the way they behave toward other people, and maybe modify that a little bit if they think they need to. Because I'm very sensitive to people treating each other badly, and there's some of that that goes on in some of these stories.
So the most important question is, where can our audience connect with you online to learn more about your work, to find your books?
I do have I'm a member of an organization called the Arts and Cultural Council of Bucks County, and I have a profile page there that has information about all my writings. It's HTTPS. If they look for bucksarts.org, bucksarts is one word, .org/Bill-Hemmig, HEMMIG, they can locate my web page. They can actually get to my Facebook profile from there. And I also post on Instagram quite a bit at Bill Hemmig. I'm on LinkedIn. If they just search for me, as near as I can tell, there are only two Bill Hemmigs in the entire United States. And one of them is a Methodist minister in Indiana who doesn't seem to be on social media. So I'm pretty easy to find if they spell my last name correctly. And I am sometimes on Twitter, but I'm very bad at keeping up with it.
I want to leave a message for our listeners that Bill sent us a story to Catch the Story podcast, and we will be releasing his story next week. So we will be putting in the remarks on this episode as well. And Bill, I want to thank you so much for sharing your insights and experiences with us. I'm looking forward to having you back when you publish a new book. And yes, it has been a pleasure having you on the show, and of course, going back to Pennsylvania, which I love.
Thank you very much, Lucia. This has been a pleasure for me too. Thank you for the opportunity, and I would love to be back sometime.
Wonderful. It's a deal.
Perfect.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified when the next one is posted. Please rate this podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you for listening, and remember, relationships don't exist. Relating does. Until next time.